Well, thank you. God bless you. It's really nice to see everybody. I hope you're having a good day. And hope you're letting the Spirit of God work in your lives. Just kind of relaxing and letting it do its thing. Because it's always working in there. You know, there's some neat things about the Holy Spirit that you want to recognize every once in a while. Number one, you know, it's a connection between you and God, and it allows you to have a nature that otherwise does not exist in this world. Holy Spirit untethers you from this world. If you don't have Holy Spirit, you are tethered, like a horse tied up at the post. You're tethered. Now, you can run around that post all you want, but that's going to get old. And if you find yourself running around and things getting old, it's because you're not allowing yourself to get untethered. You're getting stuck in something, and it's time to get unstuck. And we have such a privilege to have Holy Spirit inside us. You know, we're smart people. We look good. We act good. We do our best to take care of ourselves. But none of that compares to Holy Spirit and what that gift to do for you. The only way that you'll ever realize that is by doing something with it. And nobody can do that part for you. That is a burden that you bear on your own. And yet we're a family. And one of the great things about a family is that we help each other bear burdens. That's what it's all about. I mean, you shouldn't be going through things alone. But the one thing you do have to do alone is make a choice. And you choose what you're going to do with your gifts. And the greatest gift that you could ever receive, you already have received that gift of Holy Spirit. And so Holy Spirit untethers you from this world. Now, if you look at examples in the Old Testament of people and how they excelled and lived their lives, perhaps one of the greatest examples of how God worked in situations without people having Holy Spirit, the gift, like what you have, that is with Joseph. And you remember Joseph. He had some dreams. And his brothers did not like those dreams. And those dreams were all about his brothers bowing down to him. The world bowing down to him. Because he had another dream. And they really didn't like that. And so his brothers went off to Shechem to take care of his dad's flock. And his dad sent him on out there. He says, go check them out. See how they're doing. Well, he got there and they weren't there. He was wandering around in the field. And then somebody came up to him. What you looking for? Oh, I'm looking for my brothers. Oh, they went to Dothan. So then he had to go over to Dothan, and when he got there, his brothers saw him from afar off, and they started scheming to do evil, because they were mad. Nobody says, we're going to bow down to you. Nobody's going to tell me that. I mean, they just could not stand it. Now, these weren't his, they were his, I guess you call them stepbrothers, because different mothers, but Joseph was pretty good about going back to his dad, Jacob, and telling him what those guys were doing when they were doing bad. The Bible didn't say all the stuff they were doing, but we know they were doing bad. And, well, they didn't like him for that either. So his dad loved him, though. His dad made him that coat of many colors. And then he was wearing that coat when they saw him from afar, and they started scheming. And they wanted to kill him. Now, Reuben didn't want to kill him, but most of the others did. They just wanted to get rid of him. And they started thinking about it, and they go, huh, there's these guys going down to Egypt, taking goods down there to sell. the Ishmaelites, why don't we sell him as a slave? They thought that after they threw him into this pit. He didn't have water or food down there either. And I don't know exactly how long he was down there before they pulled him back out and sold him to these guys on the camels. And they took him on down there and sold him into slavery. And you know the story about Potiphar's wife, because Potiphar bought him and let him run everything. I mean, the hand of God was on Joseph. He had his angels. He had his wisdom and his connection with God, how God saw fit to give it to him. And Potiphar's wife, the wife of Potiphar, wanted Joseph. And so and she kept bugging him, you know, come on, go to bed with me. Come on, come on, come on, day after day. Now, Joseph, you know, he looked pretty good, I guess, from what the Bible says. And he was still a teenager because he was around 18, 17, 18, somewhere in there. And anyway, one day when all the men were out of the house, Potiphar's wife said, come on. And she grabbed him, and he said no, and he yanked himself away. Well, she ended up with whatever he was wearing in her hand, and he split. He ran out of the house. Well, she started screaming, and some of the men came back in, and she lied about it, said he was trying to go to bed with her and left his clothes. And so Potiphar put him in prison, and he was in there for quite some time. Remember the baker and all that and the dreams he had? Well, he had to wait another 2 years before he got an audience before Pharaoh. And that's because Pharaoh had a dream, and then that servant remembered somebody could solve dreams, which he did. And that began the story of the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine. And then eventually the entire world was in famine. Everywhere. I can't even imagine, but the entire world, it says, was in famine. And they all had to come to Egypt to get their food, because God told Joseph exactly what to do. He had reserved a fifth of the land of Egypt. They grew food during those 7 years and stored it in cities. And then as the world needed food, they had to come to Egypt to buy it. Well, they started amassing money and selling that food. And then the people ran out of money. Then they had to start trading their land. So Egypt started owning all the land. And then eventually they had to sell themselves into slavery, which wasn't exactly slavery. It was more servitude, because Joseph turned right back around and gave them seed to plant in preparation for the end of the famine. And so that's how it all kind of came about. Well, in the midst of that, Canaan was affected by that famine too, and that's where Jacob and Joseph's family lived. So they had to come up to get food. And they came up one time, and Joseph recognized them, but they didn't recognize him, because Joseph was 30 years old by then. And so I was reading this one part about, you know, right at that transition when Joseph said, okay, I'll let y'all go back, but you got to bring back Benjamin. Otherwise, I think y'all are spies. And if you don't bring back Benjamin, the youngest brother that Jacob had in his old age, and Jacob was old, he was like 120-something, then I think y'all are spies. And I'm going to kill him. Or kill this one guy, because he said, I want one of y'all to stay here. And so they actually took, and this is where I'll read this. If you turn to Genesis 46, I'm turning my finger. Hang on, I gotta find it again now. Sorry. Yeah. 42. Genesis 42. And he was talking to them in verse 23, and they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. And this is in verse 24. And he turned himself about from them and wept. I mean, he just couldn't contain himself because he was so happy to see his brothers. And returned to them again and communed with them and took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. So he kept Simeon, sent all the rest of them back. Well, as my mind goes, I was going, why in the world did they keep Simeon? I mean, what about him? Why didn't they keep Reuben? Reuben's the one that saved his life. You know, maybe he could have, you know, spent some time with him or something like that. And so in chapter 49, we start to find out something. And this is what I want to leave you with today. I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit untethers you, but you've got to fly. You've got to make the leap. You've got to move. If you don't do anything, nothing's going to happen. Joseph could have just sat there in prison and kept his mouth shut. He didn't have to say anything. He could have really done some bad stuff for Potiphar after that incident. He could have done anything he wanted to do. He could have been mischievous like people are today in power when he ruled under Pharaoh. He could have. We all have to make our choices. But Holy Spirit untethers you. And if you feel tethered and you're just running around and around in a circle, and you're in this rut, is because you're not untethered. Now, why do you want to live like that? And so God wants us to be free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith you are. What does it say? Yes, he doesn't want any entanglements at all. But this is personal. What do you do when you're alone? What do you think about? Where do you go with yourself? Well, God knows. And as a dad, as a leader, as somebody in power, you are challenged. Because you are faced with people who make choices every day. If you have a family, they're going to make choices. Now, you can live in make-believe land and say that they're all perfect. Or you can see what's going on. If you're a manager at work, what's the difference? You're going to get all sorts. Jacob had all sorts. And so look what happened. In chapter 49... verse 1, and Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Reuben. And so he starts going through each one of these kids. Thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed. Then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. Oh my gosh. Now they're all gathered around the bed. He was dying. He got up enough strength because Joseph got on his chariot and came to visit him, and he sat up on the side of his bed. But before that, he was pretty much nigh gone. And so he got all the boys together. And all, what do you think all the boys are thinking? This is going to be great. You know, my dad's going to bless me and say some great things and give me an inheritance maybe. And, you know, it'd be wonderful. And I know that he just loves me more than anybody else. So It's just going to be wonderful. And then unstable as water, you went up to my bed, and you know what he did, of course. Just imagine. And then chapter verse 5, Simeon and Levi are brethren. Now, we already know they're brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. Oh my gosh. What? Instruments of cruelty. These were bad guys. They were cruel. They were mean people. They had it in their constitution. They were still Jacob's kids. But that's how they were. So you can look at life through rose-colored glasses as you choose. But I guarantee you that Jacob didn't. He was one smart dude. And he knew his kids. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly. Mine honor, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they digged down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Wow. This is coming from Dad. Can you imagine that? What that was like? It's a sad fact when you wake up and see things like this in your own family. But you got to deal with it. And you can't be stupid about it. You can't ignore it. You might not be able to do anything about it, but at least don't act like it doesn't exist. Look what Jacob did. He said, I'm not going there. I'm not going to get united with any of that stuff. I don't want to know their secret. Verse 8, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. I always love reading this stuff here. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? Thy scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. I love that. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Well, you know this is all prophecy. Binding his foal unto the vine, and the ass's colt unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be for an haven of ships, and his borders shall be unto Zidon. Issachar is a strong ass crouching down between two burdens. And he saw that rest was good, and the land that it was pleasant, and bowed his shoulders to bear, and became a servant unto tribute. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that hitteth the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Gad, a troop, shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Imagine how good he felt hearing that. Out of Asher, his bread shall be fat, and he shall wield royal dainties. Naphtali is a hind let loose. He giveth goodly words. That's so sweet. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him, and shot at him, and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above. blessings of the deep that lieth underneath, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessing of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. He was untethered. He chose it. He chose to speak. He chose to act. He chose to live. He chose to move. He chose to be. He wanted more. He wanted to serve. He wanted to glorify. He wanted to make the presence of God known. That's what untethers a person. He wanted to save the world, and he did. It only takes one man with the Spirit of God, and with God's angels, and with God's word, and with God's power. You choose. It's the Almighty that backs you up and that supports you. On every hand, the archers could be shooting at you. It'd grieve you all your life, possibly. But that doesn't matter. Get untethered. Move out. Do what you know you've been called to do. Rest in the hope of God, the promises of his word. Allow them to riddle your soul and to take you to heights unknown. Become who you are. And don't let anybody talk you out of it, because the archers are aiming at you. They want you dead. They don't want you to live. They want you to die. Live. Untether yourself. Walk away from that post once and for all, forever. And become what God has asked you to be. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is it that their father spake unto them and blessed them. Every one according to his blessing, he blessed them. And I pray that God blesses you as you undo the straps that bind and walk forth into a world that no one else shares. It's all yours. Don't look back.